Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Anna Sale in for Brian Lehr. The coolest, most revered people in entertainment these days are not movie stars or pop musicians. Reality TV, Us Weekly, and ubiquitous talent competitions have democratized all that, taking the sheen off their mystery a little bit. The people in Hollywood credited with being real geniuses these days are TV writers. You've heard it. It's a new golden age of television, whether the searing dramas with charismatic antiheroes or comedians with comedies with whip-smart dialogue and new plays on the sitcom format. Now, a new show aims to show us how those writers do what they do. The Writer's Room premiered last week with the writers of Breaking Bad. Tonight, it's Parks and Recreation. It airs on Monday nights at 10 p.m. on the Sundance Channel. It's co-produced by Entertainment Weekly. And before we start this conversation, I want to do a call out to you writers out there. We want to hear what it's like to write in collaboration, write in a team with a room of writers. How is it different than that isolation of writing alone? Give us a call and let us know what's it like, the dynamics of the writers' rooms you've been in. 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. But we're joined now by Jim Rash, host of the Writers' Room on the Sundance Channel. Welcome to WNYC.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Now, first, by way of introduction, you've won an Academy Award for Adapted Screenplay for The Descendants. You're writer, director, and actor of The Way, Way Back, a movie in theaters right now. And, of course, you're Dean on the NBC show Community. So a lot happening. You're also host of The Writers' Room. First of all, congratulations. You are just doing life right now.
Yeah, thank you very much. I like that. I'm doing life.
You're doing it. So let's talk about The Writer's Room. The premise for this show is pretty basic. You get writers from some of the best shows on television together in a room, sit them down at a table, and talk about what they do. These are not people who are often in front of the cameras talking, you know, not seen about their craft. What's it been like to get them to open up?
You know, it is. I mean, that is the basic premise of the show, is just sort of chatting about the process and how they come to fill those pages and the choices they make and the walls they hit. And it really was, when they pitched the idea to me, you know, to be a part of it, obviously as a writer, I was very much interested in this sort of avenue. And, you know, they talked about, well, you know, you're going to just be sitting down with a lot of writers and, you know, might have to pull some stuff out of them and do a little work. And I was pleasantly surprised, only because they had sort of warned me, but at the same time I was like, I don't know, I think they'll be fine. And they were very open and loved chatting about, obviously, this was what they loved doing, you know, and as a writer myself, I understand it. I understand that desire to share with why certain choices were made and where those choices came from. So it actually became a very fun, and they were more than ready to then sort of just to play along and to spill their process.
One of the really interesting things about the show is because you don't just have one writer, you've got a whole smattering of them. You really get a sense of the dynamic in their writers' rooms, how they interrupt each other, who sort of people look to when they talk first. And I want to play a clip from the episode with the Parks and Recreation writers to set up. They're talking about the character Jerry, who is this put-upon guy who works at the town hall in Pawnee, Indiana. He can't do anything right. You first get the writers to talk about how this character, when they first cast the actor, they just liked the actor but didn't know what his role was at all. And then he got fleshed out in one joke where they were making fun of Jerry. But this clip is Joe Mandy, Amy Poehler, Mike Schur, and Dan Gore from Parks and Recreation talking about an episode last year that involved the fart attack. Let's take a listen. Yeah.
Well, then this season also was the fart attack.
He had a heart attack.
And farted throughout the heart attack. and Tom was making fun of him for farting while he was dying.
But please,
we're a pretty highbrow show.
It had to be you couldn't stop laughing in the writer's room. I'm just guessing when you started
talking. Oh, fart attack is a real...
Yeah,
fart
attack
was
bad.
I kept saying, are we sure about the fart attack? Are we sure? And all the writers were like, yes, shut up.
Yes.
Go with it.
I was staying up at night hoping you wouldn't take it out.
I went on WebMD to see if that was an actual symptom of a heart attack, and it is.
Is it?
You can... Some people do...
Excessive flatulence.
Excessive.
That's fantastic.
It's medically sound, that episode.
All of our episodes are medically sound.
So there you hear there's so many interesting things. You hear first that they crack each other up all the time. And then you hear Mike Schur, who's the showrunner, pipe in there and say, you know, he's the one that says, are we sure about the fart attack? He's the guy in charge. And then you see how the younger writer is, oh, my gosh, I just so hoped you weren't going to take it out. I loved that moment.
Yes, it's a nice moment because it really is indicative of a collaborative effort of a bunch of people navigating the storytelling. And as ridiculous as maybe the fart attack becomes, it becomes a debate, you know, about where they're going with it. And, you know, further in this episode, I ask them about shows, like episode ideas that they can't let go of.
We have a clip of that I want to play. They refer to a Goldilocks when they're setting this up, and this they're talking about a show that they'd come up with where Leslie Knope, who's played by Amy Poehler, and Anne, her dear friend in Pawnee, Indiana, they were supposed to teach a class about conflict resolution and got in a fight while they were doing this. Is a show idea which they call a Goldilocks, and here's the clip.
Where did the name Goldilocks come from?
It comes from The Office, mm-hmm. And the idea is that it's a telling of the story that has as few details as you would use to tell Goldilocks, just the very basic information. So one day we took it, and we took it off the board, and we found the most remote corner, and we tacked it up there.
It was like raising a championship banner into the rafters. Yeah. Like,
but the opposite, because it was
the opposite.
The championship banner
failure.
It's
like you've retired this card.
Well, it defeated us.
There they're talking about the show idea that they could just never make
yes.
work. And I love that. There's moments where the writers talk about failure.
Yes. Oh, my God. There's so much. I mean, you could, you know, I think any of them would admit that you could just fill a room with the failure moments. Because, I mean, you spend so much time breaking stories that sometimes literally break on you, that just realize that they don't go anywhere, or they sort of run out of steam, or they don't have enough legs to sort of sustain an episode. And so sometimes you think of these hilarious sort of, you know, ideas. It could be a scene. It could be a whole idea. And something's not working. And so I love that they have sort of held on to it. And many of the writers I spoke with along the way have the similar stories of the one that they just can't get to work. But they will not give up. It's still sitting there waiting, you know.
You yourself are a writer. I want to ask you about the difference. What do you prefer, writing in collaboration with a team in a room where you're throwing out ideas, spitballing, brainstorming together, or sitting first with a script and fleshing it out so it has your mark on it first, your voice?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I think there's a healthy balance for me because I've had a little experience of all of that. I, you know, primarily work with a partner. You know, my writing partner, Nat Fax, and I, you know, wrote The Way, Way Back together, and subsequently part of the, you know, we're one of three in The Descendants, or two of three in The Descendants. So, you know, I've often worked in a pair, and I do like that collaborative sort of give and take, and that sort of, you know, my background is improv theater, and that's where I feel like my grad school for writing was, at the Groundlings Theater in Los Angeles, and Nat came from there too, and so we do well in a room together. We do well as far as like sort of like a small writing staff, you know, sort of hammering out together. I've also had the experience of doing a community episode where I got to be in the larger room and pitching and having everyone weigh in. And you do get to have your own mark, regardless of the fact that you're working on a writer staff. You know, your mark is the fact that you take this, you know, outline or this treatment that you as the collective have created, and you go off to your home or your office and you write that draft, you know, on your own. So that writer comes back and shows their, and everyone reads it and gives thoughts, and then you go back and you write your rewrite. So in a way, you're still putting your stamp on what was, you know, created by the mass as far as the template for it, but then you took it into, you know, execution. And so I like that aspect of it as well, because there's nothing better than having a support group when you are a writer. And then, because when you're by yourself, you know, all you have is to reach out to some friends and say, please read this and tell me why it's not working.
Well, one of the best questions I think that you asked the Breaking Bad writing staff was, you asked them just to lay out what were the roles that different writers played in the room, and they laid it out pretty specifically. They knew immediately who played what role when they
yes.
hit those moments of frustration.
I do. You know, you definitely realize that the function of a room is this perfect balance of personalities. And I think that they specifically spoke to a couple of them calling themselves cheerleaders when things hit the wall, and they were like, no, we can do this. Remember when we got, you know, Walt out of this, we can get Walt out of that, you know. And I think that's important because it can be long hours. But beyond that, I think there are writers who are very outspoken in the sense that in the room they are often talking, and that's their process of sort of talking out loud and trying to come to a solution, and often they do. And then you have the dynamic of the writers who sort of say less and sort of sit there and just take everything in, and then with one line pretty much give a great solution. So there's both of those have their strengths and are nice to have in the room, so that it's not this sort of, you know, a bunch of egos, but rather egos in check that know to listen and to give in when someone else is right. And that's the strength of a good room.
What have you learned about writing by doing these conversations for this series?
That I'm not alone.
Which is really important for a writer to know.
that even the best people that you admire, because you can beat up yourself so much as a writer. You can say, this is terrible. This isn't working. Why is this so horrible? You know, and then one little shift can make it all much better. But when you idolize certain people and you see, you know, these writers who have created, you know, I'm already fans of these shows, but who I would say, oh my God, these episodes are amazing. But then when you have them talk about the neurosis and the problems,
they struggle too.
And the struggles, really does empower you to say, like, okay,
I can do it too.
Keep beating myself up.
We have to leave it there. Jim Rash, host of The Writer's Room on the Sundance Channel. It airs tonight at 10 p.m. Thanks so much for joining us on WNYC.
Please, yes, thank you for having me.
That's it for the show today. Have a great Monday. Leonard Lopate is next.